Welcome to Mystics and Broomsticks podcast with Melanie Dawn and Tanya Ryan.
I'm so thankful that this worked out the way it did, because I was going to do this podcast alone if you weren't available. But this will be so much better with you here, because this eclipse season is like kicking my ass. Okay.
Yeah.
Bless the Wild Sky Sisters. They did this really cool subscription called like eclipse support group or something. So that's that's been good to be a part of. But yeah, there's just like the weird things going on this year, and it kind of just keeps coming, and it's all like really first world problems esque. But I'm noticing how much it's like triggering my emotions and my body and my feelings, and especially these things that I'm usually so capable of riding out, kind of a thing, versus like recently it's like, you know, big sad, big mad. And like, aww. So this one, I'm so excited to talk to you about, because I feel like, I don't know, one, I feel like you're just going to get it. I feel like my brain, my intuition, whatever you want to call it, was like, this is a good conversation to have with Mel. So right now I feel like I am just the embodiment of feminine rage. And I had something happen recently, and it triggered these like old memories, like this situation I went through as like a 25, 26, 27 year old. And I was like, I was an adult. Like, I've been thinking about that too. I'm like, I was an adult. I mean, I was a young adult, but I was an adult. So part of me is like, was I just an idiot? Like, so I'm feeling rage at the person. I'm feeling rage at myself. I'm feeling just lots of big feelings. But what has come to light is a person that I was in a relationship with at that time, who I don't toss around the word narcissist lightly. I think it's kind of buzzwordy. I think we can all have narcissistic tendencies and traits, but he'd probably be like the only person I'd be like, no, I really, based on your behaviors and choices globally, I feel like maybe that is like a word that describes you. So anyways, over the course of that relationship, I feel I was put through a lot of manipulation, a lot of psychological, emotional abuse, like light financial abuse, not anything crazy. And when we first started dating, like very, very beginning, I asked him how old he was, and he's like, guess. And so I guessed, and he confirmed that that was correct. And he lied about his age.
Oh, that's terrible.
He didn't tell me how old he truly was. So he led me to leave. He was about 10 years older than me. And which was actually like my toxic trait at the time. I was like, I'd always date someone about 10 years older.
You were in your daddy era.
Yeah. 100%. And I was like, perfect. And I probably a little bit saw what I wanted to see there, right? I was like, oh, you're about 10 years older than me. That's what I like. And he's like, yep. And I dated this man for a total of 2 years. I moved in with him, I think, somewhere around the year mark. And after I moved in with him, his brother got married. We went to the wedding. The wedding was in Montana. So I'm in a truck with this guy driving to Montana. Like there's no escape or whatever. And it's the morning of the wedding, he tells me how old he really is, because he was scared someone was going to mention it.
Yeah. So that had been rolling, like active lying.
So he waited until after I moved in with him. So it'd be like harder to leave or escape. He ended up being a total of 18 years older than me. 18 years older than me.
He was a whole nother adult.
He was a whole ass adult when I was born. And I just feel like in hindsight, I guess, and maybe this isn't true. Maybe I'm like, you know, spinning some story around it. But I feel like what a controlling, weird thing to do to let someone move in with you, a person who's 18 years younger than you.
It was at the forefront of his mind, obviously.
Yes, because he would hide his passport, his driver's license. He'd hide them from me saying he didn't like his picture. Like, he would not let me hold his passport or touch it because we traveled a couple of times together.
This was you building your red flag book.
Oh, dude, seriously. Because I'm going to stay out of even the weeds. Like, there's so many like little things that were done with this man. But the two things that I feel so much retroactive rage about are this age thing. Because at the time, I think first of all, I was in love with him when he told me I moved in with him. I thought I was going to be with him forever. So it wasn't even as simple as like, oh, you've been lying about your age. Well, fuck you. I'm out of here. Cause it was like, there was so much there and I was like so dedicated to this relationship. So I had to keep it all in because I couldn't wreck his brother's wedding. Like he tells me on a day when I can't even like feel the feelings around it. I had to hide everything because I couldn't take, you know, the action off of someone's or the attention off of someone's day. And oh my God, it was so uncomfortable. And I also later found out his entire family knew that he was lying about his age. They knew I didn't know. No one told me. And this is like, and now like I'm almost 37 years old and I'm going like, who thought this was okay? Like what dysfunctional group of people collectively, no one sitting there going like, this young woman deserves to know who she's with. Like no one said anything to me of this collective group of adults. Like I'm just baffled because like, I think that now that I am the age of the people that I liked to date, right? Like I'm 36, 37. So I'm in that and I'm going like, I would never behave like ABC. Like I would never treat someone this way. I would never talk to someone this way. I would never date someone 10 years younger than me, let alone 18.
But do you see why? Because they're easy to fool. But you're like, you have so much more experience to be able to manipulate, but that's not your agenda. So you can see why he chose you, which I think is why you're so angry.
Oh, certainly. And then the other part, the other layer to anger is me getting mad at myself going, you were such an idiot. You were so easy to manipulate. Yeah. And like, I know that that's not compassionate, but it's still another, I just want to go and shake my own shoulders and be like, wake up, look at all this shit he's doing. Like, look at all of the stuff that he's showing you. He is not the guy. And you know, what's wild? That was also like the era I didn't believe in intuition and stuff. But Melanie, the amount of times I heard the sentence in my brain, literally like this black woman, like, I don't know who she was or where she was. She said, he's not the guy. Like, honey, he's not the guy.
Yeah.
And I actively out loud, I remember this one time I responded to her and I said, but I want him to be the guy.
Yeah.
He was handsome and he was charming. And he was funny. And he was like, you know, there was just so many like, on paper things.
Mm-hmm.
So this other aspect that I'm having this rage about is all the stuff that this guy did. Okay. Sorry. So here's what triggered, and this sounds so petty and stupid, and I'm basically low key embarrassed, but it just, this is what triggered the mad is he told people. So I ended up leaving him. Like I was like, listen, like this, I'm so tired of fighting for myself and basic respect and having to advocate for what I know I deserve. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired and I'm gonna go now. I'm leaving. So I packed up my stuff and I left. And the last day, okay. So that was a Thursday. I said, I'm leaving, like, I'm gonna leave Monday. And that was the day that was the hardest, the Thursday. He got upset and mad and sad and like all the feels.
Mm-hmm.
And I told myself, I'm like, okay, now prepare yourself because Friday, Saturday, Sunday, he's going to be the sweetest man you've ever known. Like, you know, he's going to do absolutely everything. And because I had identified the cycle at this time, it took me a long time, but I figured it out.
I loved that cycle. That's what I thought love was for the longest time.
Right.
Up until 4 years ago, I was like, we have to get in a fight. You have to chase me. Like, that was what I thought love was.
Yeah. So
you might be talking to the wrong girl.
So what I did was I like let myself enjoy the weekend. Essentially, I was like, "Yep," and I packed. And
good for you.
And he did nice things. He like made me breakfast. I can't even remember honestly at this point. I do remember him just being so sickly sweet and nice though.
Yeah.
And Monday morning came, and he's like, "Oh, like, what do you want to do for dinner?" And I was like, "Well, I won't be here for dinner. I'm moving out today." And he goes, "Okay," like with this kind of like condescending, like, "Sure, honey," like kind of look. And he gives me a kiss and he goes, "We'll talk about it later." And that's the last time I ever saw him in person. I talked to him on the phone a few times, but I never saw him physically with my eyeballs again. And
where did you go?
I moved into my cousin had not a basement suite, but it was like a basement area. And I lived there basically temporarily until I found somewhere to go. And it was good, actually. He was good to live with. But the other thing, oh, sorry. So that's what happened, or what triggered this, was I learned that he told people he dumped me.
So and I was like, ego is like,
yeah. And this is what's petty is like, because I shouldn't really care if he's whatever he's like saying. But I think that for me, it was like this little like straw that broke the camel's back because of all this shit that he did and said to me that I never said. I never told anyone because I knew exactly what it would look like. This man is 18 years older than me. Yeah. He is in the perfect place to go, that girl, she's just young and dumb and stupid and crazy. And like, he has this whole like old boys club sort of like, you know, demeanor. I knew that if I said anything against him, it would just look like shit on me. And I said nothing. So this guy did like objectively shitty things to me. And I'm going to name one specifically today because this is what made me so mad is I'm like, there's no consequence for you. Yeah. I was quiet because the only consequences were for me. If mm-hmm. I shit talked you, the consequences came on me. And then you get to go around and lie about me. And there's still mm-hmm. no consequence for you. It
Meanwhile,
still goes
on. Lie about your age. Like, how does that give you any credibility?
But he's
with anyone.
Well, but that's just it, is that he's such a good liar that everyone believes this, like these stories that he writes. Mm-hmm. So
I think people are smarter now, or maybe because I'm older, I presume people are smarter now. But you know what I've noticed about people is they tell you who they are. If someone's saying, "I'm such a great guy," or I'm a nice person, all I care about is the truth, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's a person who does not tell the truth. Mm-hmm. That like straight away, if someone's advocating something, it's the opposite. Always.
So through this like triggering of events, all these like little memories started mm-hmm. to come up about like these injustices that I, you know, lived under that go unseen and unnamed and without consequence. And one of them was he used to like, so to be clear, it is the middle of the night. I am sleeping. Like it is not morning. It's not on the precipice of morning. It is not on the precipice of just falling asleep. This is like the middle of the night. This man would like shove his fingers inside my body and I would like wriggle away and this would wake me up.
What the heck?
And I would ask him, "Please don't do that. Please don't do that." And he would keep doing it.
You should have asked him with your fist.
So I asked him so many times, "Please stop doing that. I don't like that." And he got offended. He'd be like,
"Of
I
course.
Just like want
How dare
your,
you?
I yeah, right. It's that's kind of the thing he played." And I said, "I don't like it. Please don't do that." And at the time, yeah. I did not think like, oh, this is like a form of sexual assault, or this is a form of like, this is violating. This is like, I didn't think anything like that. I just thought, oh, I don't like that. Don't do that. And eventually I did fight
who
back.
Who does like that at 38 years old? Where did he get his sex?
No, no,
skills?
He was not 38. He was 45, right? Because he's 18 years older than me.
Yes.
Yes, he's 45.
So at 45, he had that little sex skills?
It's
just a cold call on your vagina.
Well, I don't think it was about sex. I think it was about power and ownership
power,
and
yeah.
a removal of autonomy. And like, he just, oh, so gross.
That
in hindsight,
really
at the time, I just didn't click. I just was like, ooh, don't do that. That bugs me. Just like, if don't pull my hair. I don't know. Like, just don't pick on me. Don't wake me up when I'm sleeping. Like, I didn't think of it as very much. But now
it
again,
really is just like alarming. So alarming. Did you tell anyone that he did that to you?
No, of course not. Because like, when I was with him, I'm protecting him.
Because you
him.
Knew it was wrong.
Well, no, I don't think I did. I think I just, but it wasn't flattering to him. And I, you know, like, to me, when you're in a relationship with someone, just like my husband, I don't like, if my husband has like a moment of weakness or vulnerability, or he makes like a not great choice, I don't shout that from the, he doesn't deserve to be shamed like that. So I'm in a relationship with this man. If he does something like, he makes not a good choice, or he has like a lapse in judgment, or like, of course I'm not going to go running around telling people that. That's my person. That's my ride or die. Like, it's respect, in my opinion, is that you don't shine a spotlight on your partner's shortcomings. And so I didn't see that as something I wanted to put a spotlight on. And of course, eventually these things collected to a point where,
like, this isn't one bad decision.
Yeah. It was, it was death by a thousand cuts, that relationship for sure.
Yeah.
Eventually I fought back. This is what made him stop. And this was probably close to the end of relationship. I don't even really remember. But eventually, I basically did it back to him. Like, men have buttholes. So I just started, like, reaching for it. Because I was like, do you want to know how that feels? Here we go.
Yeah.
And then he stopped because I could basically do it.
Yeah. Good for you.
So I didn't punch him in the face, but I did fight back eventually. But this was after me repeatedly asking him with words, with kindness, with, like, please don't do that. I don't like that.
That would hurt too. Like,
oh, it was wildly unpleasant. Like, it was not, it was awful. And not awful. Like, there are worse things, I know, but it was just,
we're talking about this thing.
Yeah. So, it was,
it's awful. Yeah.
So one of the things he did that I specifically thought you would have an interesting take on, that I remember. And again, remember, this is Tanya atheist time. Tanya doesn't believe in anything sort of. He actually believed in more spirit related things than I did at that time. Anyways, I remember actively we'd be arguing, or I would, because again, I'm advocating for myself a lot. Like, I'm going, hey, here's like the type of respect that I deserve. Like, one time I walked out I was like, we were going to an event, and so I'm wearing like a dress. I've done my hair, I've done my makeup, and I walk out. And his face was kind of like he always implied that I wore like slutty revealing outfits. Like, I was trying to get men's attention. If you know me, I'm not really like a revealing outfit kind of gal. I never really have been. I guess everyone's modesty is relative, but I just, to me, the stuff I wore was very, very tasteful, and age appropriate. I was 25. Let's remember. Okay. That's the time. It's our time to shine. But I didn't wear crop tops even. Like, I was always covered, and anyways, doesn't really matter. But I walked out and he looked in this face like, ooh, like, you know, and I looked at him and I went, the line is, you look beautiful, Tanya. I'm going to shut the door and you're going to get a chance to try it again. And I opened the door again. And then he's like, you know, mechanically, you look beautiful, Tanya. I was like, great, let's go. He just like, he just kind of took every, and just
you.
Like, yeah, he tried, he tried, and I'm still here.
And now we're making a podcast about him.
And so one thing he would do when I'm advocating for myself, when I would be like arguing, I'd be like, that's not okay. Like, you can't do that, or you can't say that about me, or this doesn't make sense, or whatever, is he would swipe like the back of his hand on like my the back of my head or my shoulder. Yes. He'd like almost like brush his hand on my back or my arm and then kind of like flick it away. Like nothing. It was doing nothing, but it felt like this like energy, like in hindsight, right? Like I'm trying to like I can show you because we're on the screen. I'm trying to describe this for other people, but he'd like slide his hand along some part of my body, my head, my shoulders, my whatever, and then he would like flick or push this energy away, or this nothingness, this air, because I didn't believe in energy at the time. But it, like, I don't know, my interpretation of that in hindsight as an energy person was like, you're taking my tenacity, you're trying to like pull off my rebellion or my
you're neutralizing me.
I don't know. I was like, I need that to fight for myself with you, like, yes. I remember saying that, turning around and be like, don't do that, I need that. Like, it just felt like he was like, I don't know,
it's neutralizing energy or clearing the energy field, which in sessions, like, I wouldn't consider myself being a narcissist performing that in a session, but that is what they were coming, right? Like, they're coming to the table, I want to be cleared or whatever. That's completely, it's just like sticking his hands in your privates without being given permission, right? Like, he had no boundaries.
Yeah, no, he does not respond well to boundaries, which is, I think, what triggered all this incoming information. Is I essentially had someone who knows him really well sort of see his true colors recently. Like, they've like me, they probably have like a mile long list of these like death by a thousand cuts, right? Like these little infractions.
But he convinces them different. And
And a paper cut, that's really easy to kind of like, what? Oh, it's just a paper cut. Like, and because you look at it, you're right, it's just a paper cut. You move on. Like, it's no big deal. That's why the way that this man works is so intelligent and fucked up, is because if I ever went and told someone, this was the other reason I never told anyone about anything that he did, is it was so small. Like, if I just said, well, he did this, they'd be like, yeah, okay. But it's so small. And so that's why it took like 1,000 instances before I was like, you know what? I'm realizing this hurts. Do you know what actually broke it? Was I went to a yoga class by April Dawn. Have you ever seen her?
No, I've never been to a class. I actually saw her on the schedule. I think, I'm not sure she teaches that steadily anymore, but I did see her subbing and I couldn't go, but I want to. And I know of her. We're socially friends, real friends.
She's really great. I really like her. She's just,
I'd love to meet her.
Oh, she's just a really cool person. Anyways, I was at a class or a workshop or something. It must have been a workshop because we were kind of, but she said this sentence, and it's, you are a reflection. You are a reflection. Be more articulate here. You are a reflection of the five people that you spend the most time with. And I realized, obviously, I spent most of my time with him. And it actually made me think about, I didn't even think about the way he treated me. I was like thinking about the way he did business with certain people, the way he treated his mom, the way he treated his brothers. I was like thinking about all these things that he did, and I went, wow, I have no desire to be like you. Why am I with you then? If I don't want to be like you, I don't want to be with you.
Yeah.
So, and literally, I don't know, let's pretend that that workshop happened on the weekend. I'm out. Like, it's no choice for me. There's no pending there. It was just, it was like, I should probably email her and thank her actually, because she's really the reason I got out of that. She painted it for me in a way that I needed to see it.
Yeah.
To get out.
Without it being about him. It just like, all of a sudden the clarity comes. And
yeah, because I think that if we like go back to the paper cut analogy, I think I was looking for an infraction, but every infraction was so small that it wasn't a real reason, or it wasn't a real thing. And I think when it was flipped to, what kind of person is he? How does he treat other people? Mm-hmm. How good is he? Like, what is he? Like, this man renamed Oh, this. He renamed an employee. Like, he's like, oh, your name is X? Well, I'm going to call you Y because my cousin's name is X. And I don't want anyone to think that they should call my cousin's business instead of my business. So I'm going to name you. So he renamed his employee and still
Yeah.
to this day calls him by this other name. And it's like, you
So
can't
wild.
rename people. Like, that's so messed up. And all
Wow.
for like the sake of business competition. Like, you're just, that's so weird. It's just so
Yeah.
weird.
That is strange. You did tell me that story. I found that interesting that another person would engage with that and accept it on that level too. Like these people have power because they can read the energies of people that are going to see it more as paper cuts. Because the things you're telling me, I'm like, that's a broken bone. That's a broken bone. But to a younger, like a maiden archetype or energy, we have had to put up with less shit. So our shit tolerance is quite large. We have a lot of it. And then as you get older, which is where you're coming into now, you have just like the tip of the top of a glass of tolerance left, and just now seeing like why is this, why did I overlook this and this, and why is everyone else doing the same thing for that person? There's a lot of people out there like that, and this is going to be something that might get me canceled. I love men. I think we as women need men. I think men need to be strong in society. Every spiritual man that I can think of off the top of my head, and that's not to say one's not slipping under the rug that is good, I have seen super narcissistic qualities in. Cancel me now, but it's the truth. It's the truth. And I'm open to it not being true, but it's so far, I guess, anecdotal evidence for me. They use that as weaponry.
Yeah, actually. Well, anyways, I might be in like in confirmation bias mode, but I'm scrolling through a handful of names in my head. I'm like,
Yep. I was doing that as you said, he was spiritual. I went through because I have this. We have a mutual friend who sends me some of her like the screenshots of dating profiles. And the moment they're speaking about I'm the masculine, you'll be the feminine, or I'm a spiritual person, I'm like, X this guy now. They are an X straight away. It seems to be like a guy's.
That's interesting. Kind of like how there's like a whole like a wave of guys using therapy speech to like get
Yes.
their
Yeah, they're just
cool.
weaponizing themselves with the current speak, right? And so many women are want to be seen as spiritual beings, but don't feel safe. And then, wow, there's this guy that he talks like this, so I can be this. And I actually, like, early on in the relationship with my partner right now, he wouldn't label himself spiritual. He doesn't speak in spiritual terms, but he's incredibly spiritual. That's the kind of thing that I think is powerful, that they're unaware of it, but the power exists within them. But the ones who are like, I'm manifesting my dream life for so that my woman can be in her feminine and all that stuff, I think you're manifesting a woman to work this for. There's so many guys that I see that the woman is just driving the career and he sits back and kind of takes all the credit. But yeah, it's a no for me. Without meeting someone, because I early on I was like, oh, I wish he could be like this. And now I'm so incredibly grateful that I get to be that and he's not.
I feel like there's like I'm agreeing with you and I'm offering like a pair a branch on the tree. So it does feel like how does it say? Like a very
In my head, I
intentional.
want to say, like, I'm an asshole.
No, it's like an intentional use of the language to basically manipulate the reader
Be
into
more
this,
attractive.
right?
Yeah.
And then the but or the cat, not caveat, but the like the but. Let's just use the but is I have seen really spiritual guys, but they wouldn't use those words. Like it wouldn't be like, that's not how they describe themselves. It's not what they, it's not how they claim it or they own it. But like,
they speak in more tangible terms.
They don't even, to me, the ones I've seen that are like healthy, don't even acknowledge that they're spiritual. They just are it. Like they just, it is just exists. Mm-hmm. And to be fair to this guy that I dated, I don't think he ever said like, I am this. Like he didn't really claim it or own it. He just had certain, he had like a lot more superstitions than I was used to. He had like, when he bought his home, he smoke cleared it, which was totally foreign to me at the time. I was like, why are we doing this? And he had certain beliefs and
he was
and
doing it for himself.
He was.
He knew he was the bad energy coming in.
Yeah, maybe. He's like, oh, why am I not comfortable in this house?
Yeah.
But the, like, just for instance, something that I think is really cool, and I'm kind of husband bragging right now, maybe just because I'm so relieved I didn't wind up with that other Yahoo, is my husband went hunting with his friend. So this is like a nod to my husband, but also very much a nod to his friend, who I think is a spiritual person, but would probably never, ever say that. He'd never be like, I'm a spiritual guy. Like, but he, they went hunting together and they got a doe. And basically my husband's friend sort of like did this little ceremony for the doe. Yeah. And I just thought that was so cool.
Absolutely.
And I love that these two men are in the wilderness and having this moment with this deer.
But the way they're like, speaking about it is in physical sort of terms, right? And just in like, thank you for feeding us. Thank you for giving your life to feed us. It's not in, I release your soul, that kind of stuff. That's where I get lost. Yeah. Like Jai absolutely is ceremonial and sacred, but he doesn't notice it.
Yes.
And that's what I like. Speak to me in the physical terms because I need to be grounded. I spend all my time up here. I don't need you up there with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hold me back down, but make me sacred. And I think a man that can do that, like what your husband and his friend did, and my boys do the same. They hunt, and Jai doesn't hunt anymore. He wants to, but like he's so soft. He looks like so scary on the outside, but he's very, for him to take a life would be very, like he would have to really, I think he's ready to, but it was something that he kind of just thought was frivolous before because we had grocery stores, but now his whole view is shifting and being like, I need to bring things closer to back home. I need to have more control of my food source. Mm-hmm. So again, coming more into spirituality and sacredness, but without the words and the languaging, it's those ones that you got to be careful of.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll speak in Jesus terms too, right? Like in religion, there was a guy out here just outside of Turnip Valley. I think I told you we lost $60,000 because he just up and left in the night and Jai was working for him as a contractor. And the way that he spoke to people, it was that through God and that he knew best and just pulled the wool over everyone's eyes.
Oh, that's so... You know, like, I want to get reincarnated as a person with that much balls. Like the audacity of these people. Like, the fact
the
that...
The audacity, yeah.
This man that I dated treated my body like he owned it. Like, it was his. Mm-hmm. And then this employee, which I'll add to when he renamed this employee and's like, I'm going to call you Y instead of X. This employee was 23, 20, you know, really young and early. And so they're like, cool, a job. And it's not like it's a huge deal. Like they're not, you know, he's not calling him a degrading name. He's just calling him a different name. It's so.
Yeah. And he had a good reason. Right. And I'm saying that in air quotes. I know that I'm being sarcastic and want the world to know he had a good reason.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I wonder how things would have went, but anyways, and then, so this employee left the business, which upset the man I dated. I'm trying to like keep this somewhat under wraps here. So this
I would
upset
put him on blast.
I know. But you know why I hesitate to do that is I'm like, do you know who's going to get the flack is probably me.
In what way? Even when you were, so at 25, you were 25. people would maybe see you not as you were, those people don't matter. So that's like an illusion, right? It's an illusion.
It's a, yeah, but he's had so much time to like make.
It's just because you're a good person. That's why sure, you don't want to, is because you're a good person. And you like a drama-free life, like a no chaos. Because what you would be doing is putting that out there. It's like deciding to pour gas on a fire. Maybe you like peace a little more than you want to put them on blast.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I'm on the precipice of just wanting to put them on blast. Maybe. Yeah. I did write down all my feelings because I was like, I gotta get this out of my system. Like, I don't know, but I might publish it. Put it out on social media. I have no idea. But
I have a question that might be a little bit personal, but it's like, I remember, and you don't have to answer, or maybe it doesn't even have anything to do with it. But I remember when we first started to be friends that, and you might want to minimize what happened to you, but I think what you went through is abuse. And when we first started to be friends, you used to do a lot of fundraising for the Rowan House Women's Shelter. Mm-hmm. Were you conscious why you were doing that? Or was that maybe a subconscious thing, or was it completely not related?
You know, I don't know if it wasn't a conscious thing.
Mm-hmm.
And actually that's why it made me feel so stupid after. So we broke up, and then like 6 months later I found a journal, because I like, there would be these times where events would happen and I would sit in a room feeling crazy. Like, I'd sit in a room going like, I don't, like, nothing's making any sense. Like, I don't understand what's going on. And so I wrote down, and like these entries looked crazy, because I'd be like, Tanya said this, then so-and-so said this, then Tanya said this, because I'm trying to figure out how we got to where we got to,
yeah,
where I'm getting screamed at and like told that I'm doing, like, I'm just, you know, that my actions were I'm a bad person or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, my actions were manipulative or unsavory or whatever. And I'm going like, I don't even know what I said. So I found this journal.
It's wild.
By accident, like 6 months later, and I start reading through it and I'm like, oh my God, I think this was abuse. Like, I think I was in an abusive relationship. And I was like, no, I like, because when I worked with the Rowan House, I had to go through, because I volunteered with them in a variety of ways. So I did put fundraiser stuff on for them, but I also volunteered in house. So to volunteer in house, you have to take certain courses. Like, they basically teach you about abuse. I took them all, because I not only worked in house, but I also did some outreach, or I was going to, and then I kind of like, I know. So I also did this like outreach stuff. So anyways, I took a lot of bleeping courses at the Rowan House, is all I'm saying. Okay. I did the work, and the fact, so me sitting there going, I think I was abused, and then going, no, I couldn't have possibly, because I have too much knowledge of abuse to have possibly wound up in a situation where I was abused. Like, that's not it. So I'm like having this like crisis, like this, like, what's going on? And like the world fell on my head. Like, so the next day, luckily I was able to do this. The next day I went on like an 8-hour hike or something. Like, and I just like ran the scenarios through my head and like processed all this. And by the end of the hike, I went, oh my God, this happened? How did this possibly? And so then I actually called the Rowan House like hotline. I was like, I need to talk to someone about this, because I'm really confused. And I feel like, is this real? Is this not real? Like, I don't know. I just talked to someone, and I ended up getting support and used tools through the Rowan House. Like, basically, yeah. I was like, oh, okay, great. Now I've done enough fundraising. I guess I can use the materials here. And it was wild to me that ended up being that way. And then someone said to me from the Rowan House, she's like, yeah, you'd be surprised at how often this happens, where someone's actually like drawn to doing that work.
Yeah.
And they're in that situation, like whether they're working there as a position or they're volunteering or whatever. I guess that was an ununique case. And so I was glad to have those resources, but it's a huge reason why I have a lot of compassion And can advocate for someone in an abusive relationship when a person's like, why don't they just leave?
Yeah, it's like, because you don't know.
Hang on a second, I can answer that.
Yeah. And I think too, for especially for women, because we do hold an immense amount of power and in some forms of manipulation around men, we are historically speaking incredibly powerful. And so we think, well, we can change them. And we write the story, and there it has a certain ending. And until that ending happens, we refuse to see what is actually true. We'll just keep subscribing to the original story. And I say this from my personal experience and that of which I've seen with clients, is we'll continue to subscribe to the same story and disregard any facts or truths that don't align with it. And that's like a coping mechanism for our ego, I think, is like, oh, I need this outcome to be safe, or I need this, whatever wound is driving it. There is some form of wound that is happening. It doesn't make us broken or wrong in any way. But when you said the Rowan House, you're not the first to do that. Even like I've spoke about this on money and things like that, I find that the people who teach about like money or love are the ones that are struggling the hardest with it. Mm-hmm. And so going in and working for the Rowan House, it could be like you have this subconscious knowing, this is where I need to be. Obviously, yeah. Maybe not to stay, but that to be around women that are going through the same things that you are going through.
Yeah. Or even to learn, like if I hadn't,
I want to help them because you see you.
Well, and if I hadn't gotten the information and the knowledge, would I have been able to identify? Cause it was subtle, right? Like he's above, he would never hit a woman. You know what I mean? Like that. He's that kind of guy. Like he sees
I'll just
himself,
like, I'll make you do it yourself.
Yeah. This is why I'm like, okay, he strikes me as like a grandiose narcissist, is like in his mind, he is like the epitome of a wonderful person. Right. Because he sees because he does a lot of performative good deeds. This is also why he is perceived, and like outwardly, this is another reason I didn't say anything about what he did, is I was like, it's a he said, she said,
mm-hmm.
And he has all of this performative, nice guy routine. He's got that nailed down. If you are not in close proximity of this man, you will not fully appreciate what he does.
Do you know who he sounds like? Have you ever seen Vanderpump Rules?
I have not. I've heard
of it. This is not going to land then. But Tom Sandoval from Vanderpump Rules, he does all these like extravagant. My girlfriend made me watch it. It was the winter time. I went on a binge. it's only short 10 seasons. At one point, I was like, when is this going to be over? He was tired of it. But he does all these performative good deeds for everybody. But behind the scenes, a total snake, complete mm-hmm. and total snake.
Mm-hmm.
And mentally, emotionally abusive, I would say the world has labeled him a narcissist, and it sounds exactly like we could call him Tom. That's what we can Tom. Change his name to Tom.
That's great. Yeah. Well, he likes to change other people's names. I don't right? see why he can't change his name. Yeah. I know, sorry. And I'm going backwards a little bit, but I know another reason I didn't identify with abuse for a while too, is I'm not a victim. Like I'm not, I never
like a strong girl.
I never took the abuse. Like I took it because I stayed. I was in the, like there was obviously, but I fought him. I got tired of fighting. So that's why I ended the relationship. But I fought for myself. I thought abuse victims didn't fight for themselves. That's not true.
That is not true. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's actually something I learned through the Rowan House, was a victim will never take abuse. They will always, so whether it's evading, like, so if you're like looking at, you're like, well, I took the abuse, it's like, no, you probably evaded the abuse. Like you try to get around or out of, but a victim will always try. So whether they fight back or they evade or whatever, like there's always some sort of trying to get yourself out of the abuse, just maybe in subtler ways. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I didn't identify with victim. I was like, no, I'm the hero. I'm the white knight. I'm the guy that's fundraising. I'm the safe space. I'm the guy you can talk to. I'm strong. I'm confident. I'm all these things. Right. I'm not a victim.
And yeah, yet you're way more relatable being who you were, how you were, right?
Yeah, it's well, and then I don't know, maybe that's like a stigma around victim is that you're victimized. Because that's not, or that wasn't my, I mean, I went through a, I definitely went through a processing where I was very victimized. Like, I was like, how could you have done that to me? I mean, it was really anger, which I think is a natural part of grieving, like that I allowed that, like that I stayed, that how could you do that to someone? Like, I just, you know, I went through all of that stuff that you go through after. And, but I remember when I moved out, so I'm living in my cousin's basement, which was a very nice basement. But I'm living there and I remember looking in my closet and being like, oh my gosh, I can wear anything in here. I can wear any of these clothes.
Oh, wow.
No one's gonna make me feel bad about it. No one's gonna criticize me. I can wear anything. And the other thing was, I found out he referred to me as lazy. But when I left, I actually found the first thing I could do was relax comfortably. Like I could sit down and like, I actually felt relaxed when I sit down. Like I could sit down and watch a show, or I could sit down and like scroll my phone, or, and I was like, oh wow, this feels really nice to just sit down and relax. Like, cause he made me feel really bad about that. Like sometimes, like if I didn't basically like greet him at the door, like standing, he would sometimes like just ice me out all night. He just wouldn't talk to me at all.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is what I mean by death by thought. He didn't do anything. Yeah. He just didn't talk to me, and I talked to him,
just
and he
trained
give me,
you.
Yeah. One word answers or whatever. Cause he would, if you've ever said this,
would
that
be
like,
do you think that like learning that, would that be considered evading? Like, so I would get up and meet him at the door so that it wouldn't get iced out or wouldn't
right.
be.
Yeah. Yeah.
That so would the be more like a, they train you,
yeah,
the less, you know, resistance you have. And then you think I'm in a good relationship, but really it's just that they've kind of trained you up.
100%. I still do it sometimes to this day. Like if my
You'll
husband's
get up
coming,
for Bryn.
I don't get up, but I'll, if I'm doing something that's not working or productive or whatever, I'll stop. Like I'll, like if my phone say specifically, I'll like chuck it away from me, like out of arms, out of arms reach.
Wasn't and touching it.
Yeah. I wasn't on my phone. And then like, yeah, fix a pillow or something. And then like, oh, right. But
I do the same thing. I literally, cause where we moved, Jai works here and I'll see him. We have windows all around. I'll see him coming. I'll be sitting on the couch and I'll turn the TV off and stand up and go to the kitchen.
Like, that's so
I do
funny.
Not want to be, and he doesn't care. He doesn't give
no,
a shit,
course.
But that's just like, I don't know where that comes from, but I don't want to be seen being, it quotes, lazy. So I'm like, yeah, I'm trying, maybe because I'm hard on him. That's probably where it comes from. Cause I'm like, we got to get doing this. We got to get doing that. And then there I am like, binging Vanderpump Rules.
Oh man. Okay. Well, I do appreciate, you're making time for this. I am just really,
I'm proud of you.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, the feelings, it's like they came in and they were like, here, feelings. And I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I'll try. And then now I'm just at a point where I'm like, I cannot rein in these feelings. They're just exploding from my soul. I am feeling all sorts of rage in my body. And it's like, I just want, like, you know, what's funny is I don't even wish him, like, I don't wish him harm. I just wish people could see what he really is. Like, that's all.
Oh,
I wish
sure they do.
They don't. Someone just posted on the internet.
I'll put an ad in the Western Wheel.
Please do. Someone just, well, except for you got to be careful because you can just add to his martyrdom. If this is what I mean by it's like hard to, you know, because if I go and shit post him on the internet, that's really great fuel for him to twist it into, look at how mean this person is. Mm-hmm. Like that, because that's what he does. He's so good at it. It's amazing. So you can't give him, that's what I learned through the relationship with him, is you cannot give him fuel because he is such an alchemizer. He can swap it and use it. And it's genius. It's genius what he does, really. If he used it for good, my God, you know, the world would be a different place. But no, he recently, so this employee that left the business started his own company. And I'm like, ooh, like that's going to make him mad because he's very competitive and very insecure. Mm-hmm. And he is calling work associates or whatever, and telling them this completely fabricated story about how
that's
this employee
insane.
Stole from the company, lied to him, betrayed him, is trying to take down his company. None of this is true. The employee was like, hey, you don't treat me well.
People gotta be smarter than that.
I'm gonna leave. Matt, he is a wizard. Like you have to really understand. Like, yeah. I almost want you to like meet him so I can be like, yeah, you see it working? Like
I believe it, but I'll say it again. Whoever is doing the storytelling and saying like, I'm the greatest person in the world, you've got to be listening as though they're saying the opposite. Like try it, watch it, and it will, seriously, like you will nail people every time.
But then how does that work when I'm saying this story? So I'm telling you this story. If someone,
you
like,
haven't ever, like, I haven't heard you say that you were the greatest person. You've been very humble about everything and just sharing your experiences. I haven't heard you say, I'm the best girlfriend. He was the worst. Like, you're like, I had my things. Those are, I think it's very different. I'll try to like be, hone in on this, because this is coming up a lot. Like Jai and I are seeing it. We are at 10 out of 10 for nailing people lately. And I'll try to be more, give better examples. Maybe we can do a later podcast on it, but just I'll make notes of like how this equates to this. But in my brain, it doesn't work like that right yet. But I'll just tell you, if you have someone telling you, And I know this about myself, because when I was out of integrity, I was like, I am the most honest person in the world. I don't lie, blah, blah, blah. But there in the background, I was consistently lying to myself and potentially in relationship, a couple relationships that I'd been in, was doing the exact same things I was complaining about. And so I'll own that on my side of the street, but it's very obvious when you listen. You just have to turn it. Like, no one who actually believes they're a good person is out there having to convince everyone. It's just, it doesn't happen.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I think that that's such a good tool to like kind of use on like as a radar for red flags.
Yeah.
But this,
anyone
business
who gets on a soapbox like that is,
oh, danger. Seriously. So this business associate posts to his, like, this group, ugh, realtors, they're realtors essentially. So he posts to this realtors group and he's like, oh my God, hey, make sure you don't call this new company and you only call so-and-so's company because of this lying, cheating, stealing, da-da-da-da-da story.
You're kidding.
Yeah, and it's total bullshit. It's fabricated.
And how long did he work for your ex?
I think 10 years.
So that right there, I know you're lying. Like, you kept him around for 10 years. I know you're lying.
Like, I know, and then why... how do we get the people to see it? Like, this is to me, the greatest thing would just be like, and I've said, cause, I've gotten drawn into this conversation, because essentially when you are a person in close proximity to him, you're the only one that knows, like, you're the only one that knows what it's like. And so that's how I wound up in this conversation. And we're having these, you know, stories that are very similar, but very different. Yeah. Cause it's like a work setting versus a relationship setting, of course. I believe that this new company will thrive. Like, I think they're going to do great because
he isn't a bad person.
Right. And, because Tom, is that what we called him? Tom, mm-hmm. Tom also has some really poor habits in his business because, like, you can't prevent it from leaking. Like, so granted, very charismatic, great performer, great storyteller. But he also, like, you know, and I'm like, both business, there's also enough work for both businesses. Like, it's going to be fine. That's why him crafting these tales is so weird. Cause it's like, dude, like, this isn't even, you established yourself. Like, you're fine. Yeah. You're going to be fine. You're going
to
stay.
He doesn't like to lose control.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
And like, I think that his perception was like, he owned this employee. Yes. Like,
without
he
me, you're nothing. And so yeah. I'll make sure of that. That's it. Yeah. It seems so obvious.
Yeah. It's super weird. So I think that the new business is going to thrive. And I'm excited to have someone to like refer that I know is reliable and knows the work and that kind of a thing. And is not the other business. I think there's plenty of work for both of them. So I don't think it's truly going to impact the new business at all. This like, you know, smear campaign. I just think it's ridiculous that it's even caught any kind of traction. Like how come people don't see or don't want to stick their nose in it? Like, it's just like, you know, no. Like
how embarrassing for him, truly.
It's like an old boys club, it feels like. Like the guys that are going to believe him are a part of like, so this is my prophecy, if you will. And I hope, you know, my hope, the evil part of me that hopes is like, I don't wish this, you know, Tom's business to crumble. I don't wish that. I'm going to wish it stagnancy. I'm going to wish it a lack of growth. I'm going to wish it like that all these realtors that Tom works with eventually retire and Tom doesn't have any new contacts because Tom's way of dealing with business is not 2024. It's very boomer coded. Like he's not a boomer, but it's boomer coded business. And boomer coded business is not flying for millennials and Gen Z. It's just not working that way. So if you can't adapt and he doesn't adapt, like I've learned that, like we don't feminism. No, like we have gender roles. We have like you cook and you clean for me. It doesn't matter if you work full time. Like this is how it works.
Really?
So, well, he'd never say it though. He'd just, there'd just be the attitude of, yeah, if I didn't make a dinner or, you know, whatever, do that, adhere to the gender roles. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So I think that both companies will ultimately be fine. And I mean, he's like approaching retirement age now. Cause what did we say? He's 18 years older than me. So like
he's gotta be
getting up there. Yeah. Old fat guy. Like,
yeah.
I just gotta
Holy
get a couple jabs.
Lord.
In.
He, yeah. Does he have another young girlfriend? Do you know? Is he married?
He is married.
He got married.
He got married and her. He has children. Save their souls.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How long ago did you break up?
I guess 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm glad that you are able to look back with rage and alchemize it yourself. And I made a joke earlier about cold calling your vagina. I laugh at that because of what I said, but I was like, that actually, I was like, I shouldn't have laughed at that because that like, that is such a violation. I'm really sorry that he did that to you. Cause that is, and especially for a young person to think, okay, well, this is what relationships look like going forward. You know, you were testing out all your relationship skills and he was planting like really weird seeds in your head. And to undo that, this may be where a lot of this anger and rage is coming from, is in the undoing that, wow, that actually was really weird. Wow, that actually was really weird, you know? And just now kind of starting to see all of that undo itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm interested to see how my rage is gonna, because I'm kind of just trying to follow it. Even talking to you and like, this is,
you're
has
in
a,
the right season of rage. So,
right. Aries season. And then I am having a nodal return right now. I'm very tempted to like get a reading from the Wild Sky Sisters.
Yeah,
the
do it.
North node is in Aries right now. I was born with an Aries north node. So I would like to know, I'm like, what are the implications of this? Because I don't know if it's just eclipse season. I don't know if it's this nodal return, but there's just a lot of intensity right now.
North node in Aries sounds intense.
Well, yeah, there's, well, but then you got your south node in Libra. So I'm basically like intense. I'm an intense diplomat, or like, you know, very intense or very diplomatic. And it's just like, yeah, that checks out.
Yeah. And you did a good job of being respectful of yourself and of him, whether or not he deserves it, yet to be determined. But yeah, you're doing a good job.
Okay, well, thanks. I guess we'll leave it at that. If anyone wants to reach out, you want me to name drop, just message me.
Yeah.
I'm not and sure if I'm ready to like publicize it, but yeah, just
not a realtor, but if you do want to know what business he's in.
Yeah. Connected, sort of. It's not, but anyways, okay. Well, thank you for joining us on this episode of Mystics and Broomsticks. If you want to get hold of us, mysticsandbroomsticks@gmail.com. Peace in, peace out.